As we approach the one-year anniversary of the passing of Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, I'm going to attempt to talk about it for the first time. I've actually not done this before publicly, and to be honest, even in private, I've been quite hesitant. And that's partly because, you know, even though I spoke at both the funeral and the memorial service, both of those services went much longer than we had originally planned. And of course, that was in some sense to be expected because people loved Reinhard and everybody wanted a chance to say something, to honor him and to pay tribute to a life that impacted theirs so deeply. And then of course we had Andrew Colby, Reinhard's assistant, who had many stories to tell of Jeeps and Christmas trees and dog groomers. Andrew, if you hear this, I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist. But anyway, by the time that I finally got up to speak at the very end of the memorial service, I realized that we had gone quite a bit longer than intended, and I thought that the program would probably be better served without my contribution. So that's one of the reasons that I haven't talked much about this. But also, even privately, this is something that I just haven't found very easy to talk about. I think Annie Bonnke had a good expression for it when she said something like, she's near the water or something like that, which I think means that she's aware that at any moment she might be ambushed by emotion. But also, you know, with many people in the aftermath of Reinhard's passing, they were very quick to post about it on social media or whatever. But I needed some time to process everything internally. And, you know, for me, this is not a gimmick. It's not about getting more social media views or whatever. When I talk about Evangelist Bonnke, I'm talking about someone who influenced my life in ways that are literally incalculable, and someone that I love and respect more deeply than words can express. And so for that, I needed some time. But now, almost a year on from Reinhard's passing, I'm going to break silence. I'm going to talk about the life of this incredible man and what he meant to me personally. Let's see how this goes. Before I get started here, I want to just let you know about a very special episode of this podcast that's going to be released in just a few days. December 7th, 2019 is the day that Reinhard Bonnke passed away. And this year, December 7th, 2020, exactly 1 year on, I'm going to post an interview with Annie Bonnke, the widow of Reinhard Bonnke, and we're going to see how she's doing. We're going to hear how she's handling life without Reinhard. I'm going to ask her thoughts about what's going on in the world right now. I mean, think about how crazy 2020 has been. Just imagine having lost your spouse and having had to go through all of this bereaved. I know that it's going to be a very special episode, and I want to encourage you right now, don't wait. Subscribe to the podcast, hit that notification bell so you're alerted when we release the next episode. And also, I've got a bunch of other amazing episodes in the pipeline that you're not going to want to miss in the days and weeks ahead. Okay, let me start by telling you a little bit about Reinhard's passing from my perspective. Last year this time, I had no idea how crazy life was about to get. And actually, it got crazy for all of us. But, you know, it seems like when it rains, it pours. And I had just returned home from a ministry trip to be with my family on Thanksgiving Day, which was obviously on a Thursday, 28th of November. And then suddenly I found out in the middle of our family gathering that I needed to go to California because of some urgent family business. And I left right away the next day, actually, and then I returned back home on Sunday just in time to grab a clean change of clothes and leave for Africa the next day. So this would have been Sunday, November 3rd. And by the way, forgive me for giving so many details, but as you would know if you listened to the first podcast on this channel, these recordings are for my own sake as much as anything else. They help me organize my thoughts, and they serve as a sort of record for future reference. Anyway, I literally had a few hours between the time when I returned home and when I had to get on another airplane and leave for the next crusade in Africa. But then I got word that Reinhard had just been hospitalized due to some complications with his health. And many of you may know that he'd been sick for several years, but you know, he had been learning to manage quite well, and there was really no indication that anything particularly unusual was going on. In fact, it looked like he might have had several more good years of ministry left in him. But when I heard that he was in the hospital, something inside of me just said, you need to go and see him. Now, I need to mention for the sake of context that Reinhard was living in a small town on the east coast of Florida, nearly 3 hours drive from where I live in Orlando. And so while I made it a point to go and see Reinhard as often as I could, it was a pretty big effort whenever it happened. If it took me 3 hours to get there and 3 hours to get back, and if I spent 2 or 3 hours there with him, that made for a very full, long day. And so to spend the few hours that I was going to be in town going to see Reinhard instead of being with my family needs to tell you how important I felt that this was. And actually, because I didn't want to leave my family, I took them with me. So just imagine this. I'm on the red eye from California. I land in Orlando, drive an hour to my house, load the whole family up, and then we drive 3 hours to where Reinhard was in the hospital. And I knew that if I called ahead and told the Bonnke family that I was coming, they would have probably just told me not to come. So I didn't tell them. I just went unannounced. And I went because I felt like I needed to be there. And of course, they were surprised to see me. I could tell that by the look on their faces. And I realized that they definitely would have discouraged me from coming had they known, because it turned out that this was not a particularly good day for Reinhard. He was suffering. He wasn't completely lucid. I don't know if it was because of the medications he was on or whatever, but I was there with Rebecca, my wife. We went in together. I left the kids in the car, and I prayed with Reinhard. I talked to him. To be honest, it was a very emotional experience. I really hated seeing him in that condition, and he was a hero to me, and he was a picture of strength and of faith, and it was just hard. And so after I'd said everything that I knew to say, and after I'd prayed for him, you know, the nurses were coming in and going out. There were tests to do, you know, all just the stuff that they do in the hospital. And after a while, I began to worry that I was just starting to get in the way. And so before I left, I bent down over his bed and I kissed him on the forehead. And I said, Reinhard, I love you. And for the first time since I'd been there, it was as though he suddenly became very aware, very lucid. He suddenly recognized me, and he threw his arms around my neck, and he said, oh, Daniel, I love you too. I love you too. It was this really perfect moment, just a couple of seconds, a few seconds, that I will treasure for the rest of my life. And when I left the room, I looked back one more time. I really didn't want to remember Reinhard in that condition, but somehow I had this feeling that this was different from every other time I'd ever said goodbye. And as I walked down that hallway with my wife back to the car, I said to her, I think we just saw Reinhard for the last time in this world. And of course, I couldn't have known that for sure, but that was the feeling that I had. And then a few hours later, I was on a plane heading to Nigeria. I arrived there in Ottawa-Kiti, which is the city where our crusade was being held. And I got there literally about 3 hours before the start of the first meeting. It was a nail biter. You know, usually I would arrive a day or two prior to the start of a crusade just in case there was a delay. But again, that tells you how important it was for me to see Reinhard. I literally counted the cost and felt like it was worth the risk of nearly missing the first night of a crusade to see him. And anyway, it was the third day of the crusade there. It would have been Saturday, December 7th, 2019. In the morning, it was morning for me, I got a message letting me know that Reinhard had gone to be with the Lord. And that night I was able to stand before a very large crowd there in Nigeria, which By the way, I think it's the nation that Reinhard loved more than any other place in this world. It's where he saw more fruitful ministry than anywhere else in the world by far. It's the nation where all of his largest crusades were held. It's where he spent many years preaching in every little town and village. It's where many of his best stories were from. And so, although I wasn't there at Reinhard's bedside when he passed, which is, to be honest, where I would have liked to have been, I think it was meaningful that instead I was in Africa, in Nigeria, preaching to multitudes on a platform that Reinhard had spent his entire life building through faithful preaching of the gospel and evangelistic ministry. And I think that's where he would have wanted me to be. And, you know, I was able to break the news for the first time publicly to that crowd in Nigeria, which I thought was really special and appropriate. And I was able to tell them, they were the first ones to hear it publicly, that Reinhard had gone to be with Jesus. And of course, as you can imagine, you know, there was a visible and audible reaction from the crowd. People gasped, people were weeping. And, you know, Reinhard was loved in Africa. He was a hero. He gave his life for that continent. He loved Africans, and the Africans loved him back. And so, you know, that night we had created, just on the spur of the moment, the last minute, we made this little video clip to play that night for the people after I made the announcement. And it was just this little clip of Reinhard preaching. And in fact, let me just play that for you right now.
And I say to you in his name that this day is the day of salvation. This week is a week of salvation. And you will never be sorry for having come here. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Blessed be the name of Jesus. And I have a promise in my heart. Before this week is over, every one of you will be loaded with blessings. Are you happy? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let me just read my missions journal entry that I posted that very night when we played this. And by the way, just for context, this is something that I send out each night in one of our crusades to our partners all over the world. And again, this is from December 7th, 2019. I wrote, "The third night of our crusade here in Ottawa-Kiti, Nigeria has just come to a close. The last few days here have been amazing. The power of God is moving and multitudes have been touched. However, as you might imagine, today has been marked by one extraordinary event. This day will go down in history as the day that one of God's greatest generals went home. When I woke up this morning, I had no idea that my day would end with such a whirlwind of emotion. I have both deep sorrow and great joy. Sorrow because Reinhard Bonnke was more than a great man, a powerful preacher, and an influential leader. To me, he was like a father and one of my dearest friends. The Apostle Paul tells us that such gifts in our life are incredibly rare. He said, even if you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. That's 1 Corinthians 4:15. The sense of loss that I feel in this moment is profound, but I'm so happy that Evangelist Bonnke has finally entered his eternal reward. He is now with the one that he loved so much and that he lived his whole life to please. I'm sure that all of heaven is rejoicing. I was not at his side when Evangelist Bonnke passed away earlier today. Instead, I'm on the other side of the world, but I can think of no greater way to honor one of God's greatest generals that has ever lived than laboring here in Africa, preaching the gospel and leading multitudes into the arms of Jesus. Tonight, when I informed the huge crowd about Evangelist Bonnke's passing, they were visibly and audibly moved with emotion. Many of them can still remember when Reinhard Bonnke came to the same city more than a decade ago. The love for Bonnke in Africa is unparalleled. He left an indelible mark on this continent, and we are still walking down the trail he forged over many years of faithful preaching of the gospel. Just a few days ago, I was preaching in Orlando about that great cloud of witnesses we read about in Hebrews 12. Today, Evangelist Bonnke has joined that mighty host. I'm sure that he has a seat of honor among them. And from heaven's grandstand, he's cheering us on. We must continue to run with patience the race set before us until we all meet again at the feet of Jesus. Yesterday, our ministry celebrated Founders Day, 45 years since Evangelist Bonnke started the ministry of Christ for All Nations. Today, we celebrate his homegoing. What an amazing and remarkable legacy of harvest he leaves behind. My phone has been blowing up all day with texts, emails, and phone calls from so many of you giving your condolences. Thank you so much for your love and prayers. Please continue to stand with us. The work is not finished, and the harvest is still plentiful. The best is yet to come. And let me just reiterate something that I mentioned in that letter. You know, Reinhard died on December 7th. The day prior, December 6th, is what we call here at CFAN Founders Day. It's our annual celebration of the day that Reinhard and Annie Bonnke founded the ministry of Christ for All Nations 45 years, now coming up on 46 years ago. It's something that we've been celebrating on December 6th every year for many years. And isn't it just amazing and sort of appropriate and profound that Reinhard died the day after that 45-year celebration? Also, he died at 79 years of age, just as we were celebrating 79 million documented decisions for Christ in the ministry. So on average, a million people had come to Christ for every year of Reinhard Bonnke's life. What an amazing legacy, indeed. And what an incredible night it was in Ottawa Kitty. You know, that night I felt like the whole cloud of witnesses was watching us. I felt like the gates of heaven had opened to receive Reinhard, and they hadn't quite shut yet. And there we were in the presence of God and in that very special place. And I began to declare over Africa what Reinhard had declared so many times during his life, that Africa shall be saved. You know, it was just a really special moment. And our team put together a video recapping that night, actually like they do every night during one of our gospel crusades. But of course, that was a very special night. And I just want to play that for you as well. And by the way, if you're listening to the audio-only version of this on the podcast or something, you might want to go to YouTube and watch this in the video version, because this is just too good to miss. And there's another clip coming later. So let's watch this. We'll be right back.
Do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. He will take care of you. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit will fill you.
1, 2, 3, 4.
He comes to live on the inside of you. And when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you, he makes you a new creation. You're going to pick up a Bible. You're going to become a preacher of the gospel. Your life will change tonight in Jesus' name. How does it feel, Mama?
I feel very fine.
Hallelujah!
I see you now.
Yes.
And my answer.
Now I know she's been healed. I thank you for the life of Reinhard Bonnke. And Lord, I pray that now that he has gone to his eternal reward, Lord, I pray that you would raise up millions of people in his place. And Lord, I declare over Nigeria, as he did so many times, I declare it prophetically and through faith, that Africa shall be saved in Jesus' name.
You know, I wanted to play that for you because to me it's so amazing that the very day Reinhard goes to be with the Lord, not only does his life's work not come to an end, like so often happens with great men and women of God, but actually it's still going on and even going further. When I was a teenager, there was a book that came out. It was a very popular book at the time. And it was about a group of young people that decided to start asking themselves a question that would inform their daily choices. And the book was about how that one question revolutionized their lives. And the question was this: what would Jesus do? Maybe you remember the "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets and shirts and hats that came out. The problem was, I often found myself unsure exactly what Jesus would do in a given situation. I think we can all agree that Jesus was a pretty remarkable person, pretty extraordinary. And although obviously the life of Jesus is meant to be a model for us in many different ways, in other ways, I think it's important for us to have role models in our lives that we can see and hear and learn to emulate in our everyday lives. That's why Paul instructed his followers to follow him as he followed Christ. And you know, whenever I'm introduced as Reinhard Bonnke's successor, people will often say that I was mentored by Reinhard Bonnke. And obviously that's true. However, if that provokes an image in your mind of a student sitting in a classroom at a desk and a teacher standing up in front of a classroom with a whiteboard and a marker, you have the wrong idea. Reinhard didn't mentor me in a classroom. He mentored me by his example, by what I saw in his life every day as we were together in crusades and in conferences and in airports and restaurants and at celebrations. In the morning when he was tired and, you know, when he was frustrated and disappointed and afraid, I saw in the way that he would interact with a homeless person in the street one day and then a king in his palace the next. By the way that he behaved on a platform in a crusade in Africa before hundreds of thousands of people. And then on the other side, the way he was in the dairy aisle of the supermarket, I had the privilege of learning from him in the most extraordinary and the most mundane situations imaginable. And sometimes he would instruct me directly. Sometimes he would correct me. Sometimes he would teach me, dropping little hints. On more than one occasion, he would say to me from the platform as he was preaching, sometimes he would stop mid-sentence, point his finger at me and say, "Daniel, you are not to become the custodian of my legacy. Preach the gospel." And so even as I record this podcast, giving a sort of tribute to Reinhard's life, I find myself asking that question again: what would Reinhard do? And somehow in so many different situations, when I ask myself that question, what would Reinhard do? I know what he would do. I could see him doing it. I can hear his answer. It's that familiar to me. And I think that if Reinhard were able to talk to you right now, if he were a guest on this podcast, I think there are three things that he would want to say. Number one, he would want to present the gospel, because he always did. He was a pure and true and faithful evangelist. Number two, he'd want to talk about vision, because he was not a backward-looking man. He was always looking forward. And I think number three, he would want to talk about passing the torch to the next generation, because that was a major theme of his life during those last few years. But first, before I get to any of those things, I want to say something to the Bonnke family, especially to Annie and Kaiuva and Gabby and Susie, and also to the spouses and the grandchildren. You know, as I was thinking about you all this morning, I was reminded of the story of the feeding of the multitudes. And, you know, both Matthew and Mark have stories of miracles of multiplication, but John gives us a little extra detail that in at least one instance, the loaves and fishes belong to a little boy. And I think that's so interesting. It just makes the story so much more human and colorful. First of all, I honestly find it hard to believe that no adults in a crowd of perhaps 20,000 people No adults had thought to bring any food that day. I'm quite sure that there were other people in the crowd that had food. But you know, adults are stingy. Adults know how to protect what belongs to them and to fight for their rights. But kids are different. They're innocent. They're a little bit helpless. And you know, they don't have the ability to just go out and buy more food whenever they want it. And I mean, you got to put yourself in this little kid's shoes. How must he have felt that day when the disciples took his lunch? I'm sure he gave it willingly, but he probably also thought that he was going to go hungry. I'm sure he had no idea what was about to happen. No idea that there was a great miracle about to take place that would be told for thousands of years. He took a big risk and he paid a big price. But something tells me that he also went home with the leftovers. And I think that often for those of us in ministry, our families in general, and our kids specifically, are really the ones that pay the dearest price. You know, when we go off to the field, they don't get a say. They don't get to protest. They don't get to debate the fact that their mom or dad isn't going to be there for so many of those most precious moments of their lives in childhood. And in fact, often I don't even think they realize until many years later just what they missed. And it can probably feel to them sometimes like somebody stole their lunch. It can probably feel like they've been cheated in a way. But I want to say to the Bonnke family, first of all, thank you. On behalf of millions of people who benefited, thank you for the price that you paid. Thank you for sharing your dad. Thank you for sharing your husband with the world. Thank you for the sacrifice. I know you missed a lot of precious time with him, and that's probably more painful now that he's gone than ever. But I can tell you that your sacrifice has fed multitudes. Millions of people will be in heaven because of Reinhard, yes, but also because of your sacrifice. And somehow I know in my heart that God is not unrighteous to forget that or to allow that sacrifice to go unanswered. I believe your reward is going to be great, not only in eternity, but also in this life. And so, without getting really preachy, I want to just mention these three things that come to mind when I consider what Reinhard would want to say to those of you that are listening. And again, I want to mention this just very quickly because in the next episode on this podcast, I'm going to be interviewing Annie Bonnke. And I know that's going to be really special. And I want to make sure that you see that and you get to experience that. So subscribe to the channel, hit that notification bell. If you're watching this on Facebook, like the page because I really don't want you to miss this incredible content that's coming your way. Now, I know that many of you that follow me are either evangelists yourselves, or you're at least evangelistic at heart. And I want to remind you about something that I heard Reinhard speak about many, many times. You know, Reinhard would go through sort of like phases where a particular message would be very close to his heart for weeks or even months at a time, and he would speak about it again and again and again. And this is one of those. I probably heard him talk about this several dozen times, maybe even hundreds of times. He would talk about that text from Matthew 25:23. It's the parable of the talents. And of course, I'm sure many of you will recognize the passage where the master says to his servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." And Reinhard would say, I always hear people use this at funerals. But he would say, this is not about dying. This is not about what happens when you go to heaven. And then he would quote Hebrews 12:2, where it says that for the joy that was set before him, that Jesus endured the cross. And Reinhard would say, the Lord's joy is the joy of saving the lost. And you are invited to enter into God's joy by preaching the gospel. And I can honestly say that Reinhard Bonnke was one of the most joyful men that I have ever met. Now, that's a really big deal. You know, you'll hear all kinds of epitaphs bestowed on great people after they're gone, especially great preachers. You know, he was a man of faith. He was a great leader. He was a great preacher. And of course, all those things and more could be said of Reinhard. But here's one you don't always hear. In fact, it might be exceedingly rare for people in ministry. Reinhard Bonnke was a joy-filled man. And I'm convinced that part of that was a direct result of the way that he had entered into the heart of God for the lost and the way that he spent himself to that end. You know, the most joyful people that I've ever met are not the people who have been to the most counseling sessions and they've done the most navel-gazing and self-diagnosis and introspection. Instead, they're the people that gave of themselves for others. And that's how Reinhard lived. He wasn't waiting until he died and went to heaven to enter into the joy of the Lord. He lived in that place of the joy of the Lord every day of his life. And I think if he could talk to you right now, he would advise you to do the same, to live your life that way. You know, one of the things that I saw, because I got to be with Reinhard in the latter part of his life, the last 15 years or so, is everywhere we would go, people would come up to us, whether it was in the airport or whether it was in a grocery store or wherever, and they would say, you know, back in 1987, I was in your crusade, I got saved, and now I'm a pastor. 1995, I was in this city, I heard you preach the gospel, I got saved, now here's my family, we all serve the Lord. I would hear this everywhere that we went, and I had the privilege of seeing the consequence of a life that was lived for one purpose, and that was to bring people to Jesus. And I can tell you, I know that the end of a lot of different people's lives isn't so good, but the end of a life spent preaching the gospel is a good and a fulfilling and a blessed end. And so that's one thing that I know Reinhard would do. He would want to encourage you to preach the gospel. The second thing he would do, and I know this because I can almost hear him doing it, I can hear him saying it, he would talk about the future. You know, Reinhard was not a sentimental person at all. I don't think he had a sentimental bone in his body. I could tell you many stories to illustrate that. He was never tied to the past. As amazing as the past was, he was always looking forward. In fact, the fact that I'm sitting here right now is testimony to just how forward-looking and forward-thinking of a man that he was. And I want you to think about this. I mentioned to you that when Reinhard died, we were at 79 million documented decisions for Christ. But as I sit here right now, not even quite a year later, we have just passed, in the last couple of weeks, the mark of 80 million documented decisions for Christ. Reinhard's gone. But this harvest is continuing. You know, Reinhard would often quote Charles Wesley, who said, "God buries his workmen, but carries on his work." And I mentioned earlier how Reinhard would admonish me not to become the custodian of his legacy, but preach the gospel. But the irony is this: because Reinhard cared not for his legacy, but because his only interest was the furtherance of the kingdom of God, and the preaching of the gospel, the irony is this, that his legacy is assured by the army of us that are pressing forward, many of you listening to me right now included. Just a few weeks after Reinhard died, we launched what we called an evangelism boot camp. That first class of graduates has already led over 500,000 people to Christ. I just returned from Tanzania a few days ago, literally, where we just pulled off our very first simultaneous multi-city campaign where we conducted 5 crusades in 5 cities at the same time. And over the next 10 years, we're going to be training and launching 20,000 evangelists in what I believe will become the greatest movement of evangelism in history. And I'll tell you what, we're looking for and we're training right now mass crusade evangelists. And I just have to take this opportunity, even in the middle of a tribute to Reinhard's life, to say to you, if you're one of those that wants to pick up that baton, you want to pick up that torch and you want to preach the gospel in the nations, especially if you have a call for mass evangelism, you need to get involved with this. You need to apply to the evangelism bootcamp. You can find out about it by going to cfanbootcamp.org. That's C-F-A-N, that stands for Christ for All Nations, C-F-A-N bootcamp, all one word, .org. And you can apply there and find out more. And of course, finally, if Reinhard were talking to you right now, he would say something like, "No, I want to leave the 99 and I want to go to the one." He would want to talk to that one person or those few people listening right now or watching this that don't know Jesus And I'll just tell you a little story that I heard from him. And then in a moment, I'm going to play another clip for you from an interview that Reinhardt did with Roy Fields. And Roy asked Reinhardt a very interesting question. He asked Reinhardt what Reinhardt thought it would be like when he meets Jesus. And I thought that Reinhardt's answer to that was so powerful. And I want to play that for you. But first, let me just tell you the story. And I'm doing this in the form of a story because Reinhardt was a masterful storyteller, as anyone who ever heard him preach would know. And I heard Reinhardt tell the story about this little boy who lived in a little village. And in the village, there was an old man. He was a wise old sage. And whenever the people had a problem, whenever they had a question, they would go to him. They would ask him the question. And he would always somehow have the right answer. And so this little boy had observed this for quite some time. He saw how this old man always had the right answer. And he thought to himself, I wonder if I can trip up that old man by asking him a question that he can't answer. And the boy thought about it and thought about it. And finally, he came up with a solution. And this is what he devised. He said, I'm going to go out into to the field. I'm going to catch a butterfly. I'm going to hold the butterfly in my closed hand. And he said, I'm going to take it to that old man, and I'm going to hold up my closed hand so he can't see what's inside. And I'm going to say, old man, is the butterfly in my hand dead or alive? If the old man says it's alive, I'm going to take my pinky finger and I'm going to squish it in my hand, and it will die. If he says it's dead, I'm going to open up my hand and let the living butterfly go free. But either way, no matter which answer this old man gives me, he's going to be wrong once and for all. So the day came, the young man, the little boy, went to the old sage with that butterfly in his hand. He said, old man, is the butterfly in my hand dead or alive? And somehow that old man knew what this little boy was up to. He understood this was a prank. So he looked down over his glasses. He stroked his beard. And then he said this. He said, son, the answer is in your hands. My friend, here's the reality. If you're listening to this right now and you have not yet made that decision to follow Jesus, I want you to understand something. God has done everything that he could do. He sent his son to die for you. He's shed his grace upon you. He's invited you to come in. He's provided everything that you need. He's done all the heavy lifting. But now, my friend, it's up to you. You need to make a decision. And if you want to make that decision, I want to just pray for you. Father, would you just cause deep conviction to fall on the heart of my brother, my sister? Lord, would you draw them? Would you bring them into a relationship with Jesus? Lord, I pray that they would repent, that they would throw off that old life, that they would enter into the newness of life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, we're going to play this last clip for you, and I know you'll enjoy that, but I want to mention something. Remember I said that the last time I saw Reinhardt in the hospital, it was a pretty bad day for him, and that's true. But interestingly, afterwards, I heard that he got a lot better, not just a little bit. Andrew Colby, you know, that guy I was teasing at the beginning of the podcast, he was Reinhardt's personal assistant for many years, and Andrew told me he said he'd never seen him so happy as he was in those last few days. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that I didn't misrepresent this, so I asked Andrew if I could quote him. And here's what he wrote to me. Let me just read this to you. Andrew writes, quote, he was like a kid on Christmas Eve. He literally couldn't wait to get to heaven. During our last talk, I started to cry. He interrupted me and said, Andrew, don't cry. You can't cry. I just told him how hard all this is. And he said with tears of joy in his eyes, oh, Andrew, you can't cry. I finally get to meet my Jesus. Oh, my wonderful Jesus. It was as if his body was still here, but his spirit was already there. Not a care in the world, and happier than I had ever seen him in 15 years. It was crazy. Reinhardt really was a man of God. He loved Jesus to the very end. And when his time came to leave this world, he wasn't looking for big crowds. He wasn't looking for the applause of men. There was only one thing on his mind. He wanted to see Jesus. Let's watch this.
When you feel like your time is up.
Yes.
And you're going to cross over.
Uh-huh.
Have you had any kind of idea of what that might be like? What are you expecting?
You know what?
To happen.
What grows in my heart?
Please.
I know Jesus already. I won't be surprised to meet him. I've met him. I know him. I've got connection with him by the Spirit of God. It's not something that we don't know. You know, we are placed with him in heavenly places already here. So some people think you will come into the presence of the Lord like never before. And I thought by myself, maybe it is like that. But I believe I know him already. And I will only go when I hear his amen. Yes.
You know, I was talking to a friend who also visited Reinhard in the hospital a few days before he died. And he told me that Reinhard's last words to him were, "Preach the gospel," which sounds just like Reinhard. And that's really special, you know. But I said, I really like Reinhard's last words to me better. He said, "I love you." And Reinhard, I love you too. Now, don't forget, if you have any questions that you'd like me to address on this program, or if you just want to get in touch with us, you can send those questions to questions@askdk.com. The DK stands for Daniel Kalenda, just in case you didn't make that connection. Again, that's questions@askdk.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. If you're watching on social media, be sure to like the page or subscribe to the channel. I've got so much amazing content on deck for you coming through the rest of the year. You don't want to miss a single episode of Daniel Kalenda Off the Record.